Welcome to the Athletes in Action podcast.
We are a sports ministry serving athletes at the University of Missouri.
Join us weekly for conversations about faith and sport.
Long word, but it is prosopagnosia. No?
You haven't?
You haven't heard of it?
What do you go to school for?
No, I can't say it fast. Well, I have it, so it's a diagnosis where I've diagnosed myself. You cannot recognize people's faces when they're out of context. So, like, if you know someone from school and you see them at the grocery store, like, you just do not know who they are. I have this issue, and it causes a lot of problems for me because I will see someone out, and I just do not know who they are.
It's really bad.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. Vulcan, she thinks she sees you like every other week.
That's actually true. Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why. I always think it's you.
Prosopagnosia.
Prosopagnosia, yeah. So that's the diagnosis. So last week I was at the Grind. A lot of you probably know the Grind. Ordered my coffee, and someone comes up to me, and I'm trying to remember, like, who is this guy? Where is he from? We've been taking this class at church, and I think that this is the guy that is teaching this marriage class at our church. So I'm like, okay, he's a counselor from the Crossing, and he teaches a marriage class. So he says, how's it going? I'm like, I'm great, you know, Blakely just turned 3 months. We're loving the marriage class. And then he says, I'd still love to play you in one-on-one. I'm like, I've got the wrong guy. Like, this is just completely inappropriate. This must be someone else. And he just keeps going on about the women's basketball team. I'm like, okay, this is a different guy. So I just switch gears. I'm like, this is basketball. Like, just talk basketball. I finally figure out this guy is just a Mizzou basketball fan. Someone that I'd met like 2 years ago.
One of your big fans.
Yeah, I mean, I have huge fans, you know, great following. and he's someone who just used to watch games. And I just was telling Cam this story. I was like, I just completely switched who I was. And I was like, started talking about, are you going to the game this week? Are you excited about the team this year? And we were kind of just went down this whole train of thought of, like, who we think we're talking to kind of changes who we are. And we said, isn't that kind of like God? Who we believe that God is kind of determines who we are. And we believe that what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight.
Nice.
Cue slide. Slide.
Oh, no, you put it on the... What you believe about God is the most important thing about you. We really do. We believe this. We think that what you think or what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. And this is actually from a quote from an old dead dude who said, what comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. So what comes to your mind when you think about God? And here's why, really. Because what you think about God flows into, this is just the natural train of movement in our own lives. What you think about God, that directly affects how you view yourself, and then that affects how you live. So first, just even thinking about that, what you think about God. You can't have a relationship with somebody that you don't know anything about, right? It'd be like if I was like, babe, I love you so much. I love your red hair and your blue eyes. I love you. You're short. You're like 5'5". That's amazing, right? If she walked through the door and I said that, what would she say? I'm not getting my, I mean, I'm not getting any. Let's move on. I'm trying. That was me muting myself. Anyways, what you think about God then affects, right? So it's really important what you think about him. You can't have a relationship with somebody that you don't know. Reel it back in. And that affects how you view yourself, right? Your worth, your value, your confidence, your own self-esteem is directly correlated to your own view and belief of God. And that flows into how you live your life, right? Your identity ultimately affects your action. So how you see yourself actually correlates into how you live your everyday life. So that's just what we believe. We think that the most important thing about you isn't necessarily what you think about you first. Because we think your identity, who you are, where you came from, where you're going, all of that actually comes from God. And what we think about him, what we know about him, what we believe about him is the most important thing about us. So Kayla's actually going to give some biblical, just really a couple different examples in the scriptures of people who have lived, are just kind of seeing their life and attributing it back to how they saw God. So.
Okay, so we're kind of just going to talk about two characters from the book of Ruth, Naomi and then Ruth. So Naomi is a woman, she was married to Elimelech, and she had two sons, and those sons were married to Ruth and Orpah. And basically all the men die, so Naomi's husband and her two sons all dead right at the beginning of the book. So Naomi is stuck with her two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpah, and she says, go find yourself husbands, you need to be taken care of. At this time, in this context, if you were married and you had kids, that was kind of like a status. And if you were a widow and childless, then you were kind of low man on the totem pole. And so she was saying, go find yourself new husbands. Like, I'm too old to have kids. So you guys go. So Orpah's like, deuces, I'm out of here. I got to get me a man. And Ruth is like, I'm staying by your side, Naomi. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. And so at this point, Ruth and Naomi are together, and they're like, we're going to figure this thing out. Naomi has kind of a, bad attitude. She's saying, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you take away my husband and my two sons? And she actually says in Ruth 1:20, it's up there on the screen, it says, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. And Mara means bitter. So she literally said, I'm so bitter, I'm changing my name to bitter. So that's how she kind of was seeing God at that point. She was saying, this is unfair. God, you are unfair. This situation is just not what I wanted. I feel like you have turned your back on me. But Ruth, on the other hand, is saying, no, I'm going to be faithful. I believe God is faithful. I will follow you. We'll figure things out. We're going to trust him. And so they go to a distant relative of Naomi's named Boaz. They're both childless and they're both widows. And again, husbands are kind of financial security at this time. So they go and work for Boaz. And then, so God really softens Boaz's heart towards Ruth. And he, it says in Ruth 2:16, he tells that his kind of field manager, so basically it's harvesting season, and he tells this manager of the field, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her, and also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean and do not rebuke her. So basically Ruth is being both provided for, she's going behind the harvesters, gleaning. I had to look this up because I just am not like a farmer. You basically are just gathering all of the crops. And so what she would do is follow behind the harvesters and kind of like pick up the scraps. So Boaz says, let Ruth pick up the scraps and even leave some for her to pick up so that she can feed herself and Naomi. So she was both provided for and protected. God really softened Boaz's heart towards Ruth, and he was kind of, she caught his eye, I guess, and so he was flirting with her by letting her glean his harvest.
That old biblical flirting.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
I'd do whatever with your glean.
Okay. And so, so then Ruth notices Boaz's gesture, and she makes, a bigger gesture. So she ends up and goes and she lays by his feet. This is just like all so weird, but it'd basically be like her, you know, making the first move, sliding into his DMs, just putting herself out there, which is very countercultural at this time. I would just like to add a side note. Speaking of sliding into DMs, Cam, you guys think he's super smooth, but the first week that we got to know each other, you might not think he's smooth, actually. He slid into my DMs in GroupMe, and that is how we first got to know each other. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
The group me. Group me's where it at.
Not even Instagram. Group me.
Instagram's so mainstream.
Yeah. Step above.
Yeah. Sorry, groom me.
He said, if you still need a ride to Walmart, just let me know. I was like, okay.
The rest is history. Yeah, that's the key. That's the key. The group me DMs.
Yeah, so he's slowing
down. That's free. That's a free tip right there.
Yeah, I wouldn't try it, but it worked out for us. Okay, so Ruth makes this big gesture. She lays at Boaz's feet. And then eventually, Boaz, God softens his heart, and it says in Ruth 3:10, it says, also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife. And again, cultural context, bought, you buy the land and the property and also women to be your wife. So that is just part of the context. But the final part of this story, and this whole time Ruth is being faithful, working in the field, getting to know Boaz, providing for Naomi, aka Bitter, and then God shows up in this last part. So Ruth and Boaz are married, and it says in Ruth 4:14, then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. And so Ruth and Boaz have a son, and he's actually in the lineage of Jesus. And so this son is considered a redeemer because Ruth and Naomi are now, financially secure because they have a son. Ruth has a husband, and then they have a son to carry on their lineage, and that is considered financially secure at that time. So I just want to take a closer look at Naomi and Ruth and kind of what they believed about God and then how this kind of flowed out of their life. So I made a little chart. First, we'll talk about Naomi. So her view of God, she believed God is unfair. After all of kind of what she went through, she saw God as turning his back on her. Her identity became, she was a widow, she was childless. And then her reaction, we already talked about this, but she said, call me Mara, I'm bitter. In her emotion, she was desperate, anxious, she felt panicked, she didn't know what was going to happen next. And then Ruth, on the other hand, she had a very different belief or view of God initially. She believed that God is faithful. She believed that she was the daughter of God. Her reaction was, let me go work for Boaz. God will provide. And he did. He softened Boaz's heart, opened his eyes, and Boaz eventually became her husband. And then the emotion that kind of went along with that, she made this big gesture to Boaz. She went against the cultural norms of men pursuing women, and she made this big gesture to Boaz. She was confident, courageous, and content, all because of what God did through her, because she believed that God was faithful. So that was kind of a little bit just about just Ruth and Naomi and how God used Ruth's faithfulness to redeem both her and Naomi's stories. Cam is going to talk a little bit more about just what we can do and how we believe in God and how that affects us today.
That's really good. So you see the two different kind of, just it's based on their view of God, and everything over, it just flowed out of that, right? So here's when I hear that, when I hear this big quote, what you believe about God is the most important thing about you, I get really, really intimidated and scared because I know God is very big, and I feel like, okay, that's a lot to know, right? Like, that's a lot that I have to kind of wrap my mind around. So I want to look at a verse in Hebrews, and I want this to be kind of your, if we could get practical for a second, this is what I want to be practical with. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says this. They're talking about Jesus, but he says, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So what is God like? How do I know God? If that's the most important thing about me and everything overflows of how I view God, okay, I gotta read God's word, right? I gotta get in the book. I gotta get in the Bible. But let me say this. A lot of time I think we just start with Genesis. We try to go to this big picture. I would say to start with Jesus, right? He said, he is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the exact imprint of his image. So if you want to know who God is and what God is like, you need to look no further than Jesus. So Jesus came down. He was God in the flesh. So every way that Jesus responds is how God would respond. And if we want to grow in our relationship with God, we just have to look at who Jesus is and walk with Jesus. Does that make sense? What's he like? So I would say start in, if you could just be really simple, I would just say start in one of the Gospels. Start in either John or Mark. They're just a story. It's just a narrative of who Jesus is. And it's a bigger picture. It's who is God, right? And I want to be really practical. This is probably my favorite thing. If I'm going to look at who God is, there's this verse in 2 Corinthians. It's not up there on the screen, but it says this, 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says this, he who knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. So that sounds really spiritual. Here's all it means. This is who Jesus is. This is who God is. And we need to have everything else overflow out of this. Jesus loved the world, loved humanity so much that he came down to become sin. So all the punishment, all the shame, all the condemnation, all the insecurity that you feel, Jesus came down to actually become that for you, to wear that on the cross for you, so that you could become the righteousness of God. Righteousness just means right standing, to bring you into a right standing with God. Just like Ruth, how she saw herself was a daughter of God. That's actually how we are actually to come approach God. That's how we're to see ourselves, but it all overflows out of how we see God. If I see him as someone who's angry and frustrated and ashamed of me, how am I going to live? I'm going to live insecure. I'm going to go around looking for acceptance everywhere else. But if I see God as somebody who saw me at my worst, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, still sinners, broken and altogether, that he saw us in that moment and said, I love you now. I want you to enter into a relationship right now. Then I just have security. It affects how we live, but it starts with how you see God. So some of you, I just know it. You have, we all do, but we have things that we need to deconstruct, if that makes sense. We have views of God that are just wrong, that are off, that we've been taught, or maybe it's even just wounds from our past, wounds from our families, wounds from our dads or mothers or whatever it is, and it has affected the way that we see God. So I want to encourage you, get in God's book, okay? Get in his book, man. It seems intimidating, but just put yourself in the story. Look at who Jesus is. That's all we're leaving you with tonight. Get in the book and look at who Jesus is. We're more convinced now than ever that he's alive, that he's real. I'd say we love Jesus more today than we ever have. Like, I'm more convinced that he actually was a person, that he came down, and that now he ascended into heaven, and now he filled me with his very own life and his very own spirit. That's insane to me. He, more than anything else, he just wants to be with you. So what you think about God is the most important thing about you.